Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a disastrous loss for the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday to Arkansas, 24-13. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, doing well. Good morning, guys.
So, Josh, I want to start with the third quarter woes that the Vols have had the last four games. I believe the margin is being outscored 61-7 in the third quarter in the last four games, all of which obviously have been losses for Tennessee. What have you made of why that's been the case in the third quarter, and how much of that falls squarely on coaching?
Well, it's a good question. Why? I'm guessing there are a number of it. Factor, but one would have to be that opposing teams are doing a better job of figuring out what's gone on, what's gone wrong in the first couple of quarters and taking advantage moving forward. You know, coming out of the Kentucky game, there was so much blame placed on Jerry Garantano, and his pick sixes were what they were, and they were very costly. I don't think anybody would disagree. But I came out of that game asking, wait a minute, Tennessee had scored a touchdown, though, going into the half, so it was actually the lead was cut from 17-0 to 17-7, and Tennessee still came out playing very poorly. So it couldn't all have been about, well, they're just deflated from the two interceptions that were returned for touchdowns, because we had already seen Tennessee respond favorably on offense with a scoring drive, and they came out and just looked terrible in the third quarter. The Georgia game was more explainable because, well, Georgia just, maybe the players just showed up and said, hey, we're better than you were going to show it. Alabama game was what it was. Now you have the Arkansas game where Tennessee went into the half with a 13-0 advantage. And still coming out into the third quarter, it was all Arkansas, and that was the worst third quarter of the season for Tennessee. So there have to be a number of reasons why, but I don't know how you could look at all of these games and not point to opposing coaching staffs doing a better job of getting their teams ready for the second half of play compared to what Tennessee has done.
So, Josh, what's your show going to be like today?
I would imagine it's going to be uplifting and positive and, you know, forward-thinking, you know, within my expectation.
Calm.
It will not be any of that. You know, it's going to be a mix of, realistically, it's going to be a mix of fans calling in to, one, complain, two, talk about where the program goes from here, three, the future of Jeremy Pruitt, and four, who replaces him. Because there will be fans that will now start talking about the end, whether it's this year or next year or when it's going to be, that fans are going to expect that a change is inevitable at this point, and what do we do next? Because online, that conversation has already started up, widespread, I think, among Tennessee fans.
Hashtag Hugh to the Hill. I've seen a lot of that.
Oh, God.
A lot of Hugh and a lot of, maybe not a lot, but some Urban Meyer having to explain to some friends on text threads why it probably will not be Urban Meyer coaching the Vols next year.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Josh, as you said, the fan base, as you know, a lot of them totally jumped ship on Jeremy Pruitt on Saturday night. And it's one thing for the fan base to feel that way. It's quite another for Philip Fulmer and everybody making decisions to feel that way. So how much pressure do you think is on Jeremy Pruitt and the staff for the rest of this season to get things figured out and start to turn this ship around from their vantage point of what Philip Fulmer and the decision makers ultimately think about Jeremy Pruitt and his staff?
There has to be a good amount of pressure, but in terms of jobs being in jeopardy, specifically Jeremy Pruitt's job being in jeopardy, I would still think that's tough for Tennessee to really make happen this year. because Tennessee just gave him a big contract extension with the Rays that goes into effect next year. So his salary is about to increase. It hasn't even happened yet. And the buyout number is just so incredible, around $13 million plus what you would have to pay to fire assistant coaches, plus whatever it would take to go get somebody else to come in a year where you're having to cut the budget like they have, and they've already announced the staff cuts that they're putting in place to help save money because of all the financial loss. Now, you can also come back and say, well, what would be the cost of keeping someone? This is, of course, a conversation without knowing what happens over the next 4 weeks, but it's not headed in a good direction. It's not a very good time to be playing Texas A&M, I would say. But Tennessee has put itself in a position where financially it's in a terrible spot. That contract extension has already been criticized, and there's going to be more of that coming from the decision to give Jeremy Pruitt a big raise before he had really proven that he could take Tennessee to a higher level. He was moving in a good direction, it looked like, but it has since reversed course here in the last four games.
Yeah, I mean, that, you just laid out a lot of reality for people who want him gone. It's very, very unlikely. I mean, to me, you gotta live with that if you're a Tennessee fan at this point. But what can he do, and how realistic is it that he can do anything the rest of this year to turn this around?
I think it's very unrealistic because when we pointed to last year's turnaround, which was real and it did happen, one, it was led by a number of players who are not on the team anymore, but also the real challenge trying to make it happen this year is the schedule. The Arkansas game was one of your breaks. The Arkansas game and then Vanderbilt later in the season, those are the two opponents you could point to and say, okay, well, those are very beatable opponents for Tennessee, but the games against Texas A&M, Auburn on the road, and Florida look much more difficult than what Tennessee faced in the back half of last season after playing Alabama. It's really not even close with A&M and Florida, I would argue. So considering this Tennessee football team is showing signs of going in the wrong direction, and the schedule, I don't know if it's getting more challenging because of the Alabama and Georgia games behind you, but it's more challenging than Arkansas on Saturday, right? And more challenging than Kentucky. I can't point to anything to say, hey, here's why I believe that everything's going to work out this season for Tennessee. I think fans are holding out some hope that, hey, maybe they hand things over to Harrison Bailey and he takes off. But again, I have nothing to point to say that Harrison Bailey all of a sudden is going to fix anything, and I know he's not going to fix the defensive issues that Tennessee has. So I can't realistically sit here. I feel like I would be lying if I said, you know what, I still believe that things can turn around in a positive way for Tennessee in the next four games.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Josh, obviously Jarrett Garantano goes down in the third quarter. Brian Maurer comes in, and it looked like Tennessee was just terrified to throw the ball with Brian Maurer in the game, and maybe deservedly so. He finishes 0-for-4 on the day passing. What's happened with Brian Maurer, and why do you think there hasn't been any improvement seemingly on that front with him?
Well, his injury and his lack of preparation and practice time and fall camp couldn't have helped, but that shouldn't speak for all of it, I don't think, for why he looks like he's taken a step back from where he was last year. And I think it comes back to the conversation around the development of the quarterback position. Joe Garantano has gotten better at times, but he's taken steps back. Brian Maurer having the same conversation. We haven't seen a lot of J.T. Stroud, but what we've seen has not been good. Harrison Bailey's a freshman. I'm not going to pass any judgment there. But he doesn't, right now, to me, again, in the small amount of time that we've seen him, he doesn't look like a quarterback that's ready to help lead you. And that is added to the level of frustration among the Tennessee fans who are sitting there thinking, we paid a lot of money to Jim Chaney to come in, and we were told that, hey, year two in the offensive system, with him leading the way, things are going to get a lot better, and they've actually gotten worse. And it can't all just be that Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway are gone. Those are two really important players, but you have other good players, and you have an offensive line that was built up to be really good. And at times it's been good, but at times it's not been good enough. And you know, it all just kind of goes together. But back to the quarterback position, it's been a huge disappointment. And yeah, I still wonder, why is Jim Chaney not the quarterback's coach? Chris Winkie is. Do you have communication issues there? But they've not gotten the job done, not even close to it. And we did see the answer, as I think the answer has been given to fans when they ask, why is Jarrett still playing? Why isn't it somebody else? You saw the answer there, but that's not going to make fans feel any better.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, actually, I liked how Garantano was playing before he didn't have big numbers, but I thought he was making good plays, good decisions, running around a little bit before he got hurt. He certainly wasn't the problem.
There was a lot of disaster with him. It was after he left the game.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned Jim Chaney. I mean, if people want to talk about changes that might happen, I do have to look at him and wonder about him for next year. What would you say at this moment about Jim Chaney, what he's done this year, and where that might be going?
Yeah, as I said, they've invested a lot of money in him, and it has not worked out with the offense. I have a hard time believing he would want to leave. So is that a change that Jeremy Pruitt would want to make? Would he be allowed to make it? What's the cost then to go get somebody else to come in? And if you're in a lame duck situation, can you really get a quality offensive coordinator, a proven guy that's going to come in and try to help save everything? And what kind of coach would you be able to get that would do what they need to do offensively that Jeremy Pruitt would be on board with? That's another question. What exactly does he want them to be offensively? And can they get somebody to fix the quarterback position? So right now it's not working out with Jim Chaney. Maybe that's something, again, that changes here in the next few weeks. It's difficult to believe. But the excitement around bringing Jim Chaney back to Tennessee, getting him away from Georgia, and what that was going to do from the offense has just not paid off. Tennessee's paid a lot to make it happen. It just hasn't brought back the results.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest here on Robbie and Rextro. Josh, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Hey, you got it. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Josh. I mean, that's kind of the sad reality of it right now for a Tennessee fan, because, look, I'll go on record. The last four games have been enough to show me Jeremy Pruitt is not the guy. He's not the guy to lead this program. He is not the guy that's going to bring Tennessee back. And he is not going to be the coach 3 years from now at Tennessee. I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't think he will be. But the problem is, if you want to make a change right now, Tennessee has put themselves in a position where I don't think they can make that happen.
Right.
I think a contract extension that they gave him has totally screwed them from making a change right now at the head coaching position. And you factor in, obviously, COVID and the revenue loss and everything that goes along with that. I mean, they're just in a tough spot right now where Jeremy Pruitt's going to have to be your guy for the next couple of years, I think. And that's a sad place to be if you're a Tennessee fan, because we talked about this last week. What's the conversation going to be like if Sam Pittman in year one comes in here and beats Tennessee and brings Arkansas from the floor of the SEC to a spot where it's already better than the Vols? That's exactly what happened on Saturday, and it's very difficult for me to believe that in year three, if that's happening under Jeremy Pruitt, that it's going to get a whole lot better.
And I have no idea with Chaney, you know, all the discussions, everything, but certainly Chaney to me read as a Philip Fulmer move,
yes.
Right? Get his guy in as the OC. And if that's not working out with Pruitt, and certainly we've already seen him publicly rip one of his calls after a game, that's kind of that's an uncomfortable situation between Pruitt and Fulmer on that front too. I mean, this is a mess from a lot of different angles.
When we come back, it was a loaded weekend of football around both college football and the NFL. We'll take a look around the NFL slate as well as the couple of big wins in college football that could impact the college football playoff discussion. That's coming up next. But first, 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 is your exclusive home for the 2020 Masters Tournament. Tune in to 102.5 The Game for leaderboard updates this Thursday and Friday. And then on Saturday and Sunday, ESPN 94.9 will broadcast the Masters live both days. It's all brought to you by Music City Golf Store in Belle Meade for all your golfing needs. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rextrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.